The new corporate enforcement program is designed to bring certainty to the voluntary disclosure and cooperation process. Voluntary disclosure is likely to lead to a declination, reduced penalties, and no corporate monitor. But DOJ changes are yet another attempt to spur voluntary disclosures. Many companies have gone through the process and felt at the mercy of DOJ, and DOJ does hold all the cards in the cooperation context. Companies have to persuade DOJ prosecutors to secure the most favorable outcome.
Global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkoff.
Welcome. Hello, everyone. Michael Volkoff here, and we're here for another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance. And today's episode, we're going to look at, yet again, another Justice Department white-collar enforcement strategy or modifications to the corporate enforcement program. It seems like with each new administration comes a new approach or emphasis on certain enforcement priorities. And the Trump administration is marking its territory and doing so to underscore its priorities. In a recent speech, the Assistant Attorney General, Matthew Gilotti, for the Criminal Division, announced DOJ's new approach. To reinforce this new approach, DOJ also issued a new memorandum called Focus, Fairness, and Efficiency in the Fight Against White-Collar Crime. This was released on May 12, 2025. At the same time, Mr. Gilotti gave a speech to compliance folks in the financial crime area. The new approach includes some interesting observations concerning white-collar enforcement and also sets out some new priorities. AAG Gilotti cited the fact that white-collar crime, quote, poses a significant threat to U.S. interests, close quote, and that if unchecked, results in great harm to government and hardworking Americans. In particular, he cited the national security harms caused by international money laundering organizations and illicit financial and, the key point here that I'm going to emphasize, logistical networks which facilitate sanctions evasion by hostile nation states and terror regimes. He also questioned the efficacy of DOJ's past practices and the fact that prior enforcement efforts came at too high a cost for businesses and American enterprise. So to address this issue, he argued American companies need clear guidance and certainty on the concrete benefits that each company, their shareholders, boards, and customers can earn through self-reporting. That is, owning up to criminal conduct, remediating, and cooperating with the department. In his views, those costs and uncertainty have deterred companies from working with the department and diverted the department's resources from tackling the most significant threats facing the country. So he asserted that DOJ in the past had been quick and heavy-handed with the stick and stingy with the carrot, so which resulted in lengthy, drawn-out investigations that are ultimately detrimental to companies and the department. As a result, companies have been unwilling to cooperate and allow the department to more readily target the most culpable actors. So what does this new page on white-collar enforcement look like? It is a more circumspect perspective, and AAG Gilotti noted the dangers of excessive enforcement and unfocused corporate investigations that frustrated innovation. But he cited the strength and importance of corporate compliance functions, especially those compliance officers fighting AML on the front lines. And he urged compliance officers to provide critical information to the government to prosecute the worst offenders, the individual fraudsters, those that shadow bank for hostile nation states, and cartel enablers and other financial facilitators. So there were three changes, significant changes to the corporate enforcement policies that were designed to promote focus, fairness, and efficiency. And he cited the harm caused by fraudsters who perpetuate schemes designed to harm individuals, dishonest actors who take advantage of the government and enrich themselves through waste, fraud, and abuse, including those that defraud Medicare, defense programs, and other public benefit programs. So to this end, here were the three major changes that were announced by AAG Gulati and which were incorporated into a new memorandum which DOJ issued. First, companies that self-report, in other words, voluntary disclosure, will earn significant benefits, meaning a declination, not a presumption of a declination. Those companies that voluntarily disclose, cooperate, and remediate will be awarded a declination, assuming there are no aggravating circumstances. For those companies that have aggravating circumstances, companies may still be eligible for a declination based on weighing the severity of those aggravating circumstances and the company's cooperation and remediation. Now, in this calculus, there's one significant omission. In other words, there's no change with regard to any company that earns a declination would still have to forfeit any proceeds of wrongdoing. In other words, if through the fraud scheme, the company earned $30 million, they would have to disgorge that $30 million to get the declination. So there was no change in the policy with regard to that in terms of forfeiture of ill-gotten gains. The second announcement was those companies that disclose but do so after DOJ has already initiated an investigation, the revised corporate enforcement program provides that companies are still eligible to receive significant benefits, even a non-prosecution agreement with a term of fewer than 3 years, a 75% reduction of the criminal fine, and no monitorship. Where a company does not disclose, but still cooperates and remediates its compliance program, the corporate enforcement program provides that companies could receive benefits in a favorable resolution with a 3-year term, no monitor, and up to 50% reduction in the fine. That's the second area. The third area is modification of DOJ's monitorship program to narrow the cases where a monitor should be appointed and to minimize costs of a monitorship. In this regard, DOJ will ensure that any existing or future monitor operates pursuant to a narrow scope, or they will terminate the monitorship. In appropriate situations, DOJ will appoint a narrowly tailored monitorship that is right-sized to the conduct it seeks to remedy, and it'll weigh the following factors. One, the nature and seriousness of the conduct. Two, the availability of other effective independent government oversight, regulatory oversight, for example. Three, the efficacy of the company's compliance program and culture of compliance at the time of resolution. And four, the maturity of the company's controls and ability of the company to test and update its compliance program. And when a monitor is imposed, DOJ will ensure that costs are proportionate with the underlying criminal conduct, the company's profits, and the company's size and risk profile. DOJ will require a fee cap for corporate monitors, approve budgets for all work plans, and require biannual tripart meetings between DOJ, the monitor, and the company. So DOJ is going to play a more active role in the oversight of criminal investigations and monitorships to the extent those are imposed going forward. Now, for years, and I want to talk a little bit about that, companies have often complained about the experience of voluntary disclosure, citing burdensome and sometimes unnecessary changes and investigative steps, and have criticized corporate monitorships as being too heavy-handed. On the other hand, some companies who have completed a monitorship will acknowledge that the monitor helped the company establish effective ethics and compliance program improvements. Often, however, the cost of the corporate monitor has been burdensome in terms of time and cost. On one extreme was the Apple antitrust case, where the relationship between the corporate monitor and Apple became a disaster, filled with recriminations, resistance, and ultimately litigation. On the other extreme, companies have cited the beneficial impact of a corporate monitor and the improvements to their program. Much of it really depends on personalities and corporate embrace of the need for change. If the corporate monitor operates in an environment where change is expected, the monitor can be successful. By contrast, if the company is continuing to resist the need for change during the monitorship, those situations can become difficult. The Trump administration is now intent on changing that monitorship tool as part of its new white-collar program. And AAG Galati announced these significant changes to the monitorship process. And I think underlying the assumption is that most businesses are legitimate enterprises and prosecutors must avoid overreach that punishes risk-taking and hinders innovation. Now, with respect to criminal investigations, it's clear the criminal division is going to assume a greater oversight role with regard to corporate investigations that linger for too long. And they cited the fact that there are sometimes investigations go on and on with little progress. Accordingly, prosecutors are now directed to take reasonable steps to minimize the length and collateral impact of their investigations and to bring the bad actors to justice swiftly. Corporate resolutions with companies that cooperate and remediate should impose a term that is appropriate and necessary. So we're going to see a change in resolutions given the severity of the misconduct. Those terms should not exceed 3 years except in rare cases, and prosecutors should continue to monitor corporate performance, determined if the resolution should be terminated early. And I mentioned corporate monitors, and it's clear that they're only going to be imposed when necessary. That is when a company cannot be expected to implement an effective compliance program or prevent recurrence of the underlying misconduct. And when imposed, the monitorship, like I said, should be narrowly tailored. Well, the third area I wanted to talk a little bit more about was the change that DOJ announced the expansion of its whistleblower program now to include tariffs, sanctions, and export controls. The new corporate enforcement program is designed to bring certainty to the voluntary disclosure and cooperation process. Voluntary disclosure is likely to lead to a declination, reduced penalties, and no corporate monitor. But DOJ changes are yet another attempt to spur voluntary disclosures. Many companies have gone through the process and felt at the mercy of DOJ, and DOJ does hold all the cards in the cooperation context. Companies have to persuade DOJ prosecutors to secure the most favorable outcome. Now, as a result of the new whistleblower program, companies have an even greater incentive to cooperate. Companies have to act quickly for fear that a whistleblower could beat them to DOJ's door. Now, DOJ has only started this program in 2024, and we've seen some uptick in terms of criminal investigations. There's been some recognition that there are more investigations going on, but remember, if a criminal investigation is launched, the whistleblower can be the first person in to cooperate and earn a non-prosecution resolution. If the whistleblower beats the company, the implications are significant since the declination may not be available for the company as the second in line for benefits. To avoid this situation, DOJ reminded companies to seriously weigh again the potential benefits of a prompt self-disclosure. Now, AAG Galati announced significant additions to DOJ's corporate whistleblower program to reflect the new priorities of this administration. These new areas include procurement and federal program fraud. And we've already seen the DOGE sort of exposure of a lot of wasteful and even fraudulent government spend. But add to that trade, tariff, and customs fraud, violations of federal immigration law, and violations involving sanctions, material support of foreign terrorist organizations, or those that facilitate cartels and transnational criminal organizations, including money laundering, narcotics, and Controlled Substance Act violations. Whistleblower tips in these areas can result in significant percentage recoveries from forfeited assets. There is an established whistleblower bar, with many attorneys willing to offer legal services on contingency. And the DOJ whistleblower program, we can expect, will mature and be a significant source of DOJ investigations and prosecutions. The amended list confirms what we already know. DOJ is focused on tariff, sanctions, and export controls enforcement. And AAG Galati reinforced this message by adding those areas to legitimate whistleblower reports, encouraging, therefore, even greater incentives for companies to voluntarily disclose any type of crime that may come up with regard to AML and financial crimes that are tied to trade, tariff, sanctions, and other violations. So DOJ's new approach is an attempt to simplify the disclosure and cooperation alternative. And by offering resolution certainty and encouraging voluntary disclosures to the extent possible, DOJ is urging companies with the support of compliance officers to take advantage of the program to self-disclose potential violations. Well, that's a quick look at the new corporate enforcement program. Should be interesting. We will stay interested in that ourselves and monitor that, obviously, as we see what the reaction is from the corporate white collar bar. Thanks again, everybody. We'll see you next week for another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkov, go to volkovlaw.com.